Amen. That was beautiful. That was Sister Novi, by the way. That's a new song, and it's going to be on the SDR music page as soon as possible. I just asked Brother Dwayne to email it to me. And, by the way, Dwayne, if you want to, I think Sister Jana is still here. And Sister Jana, still send me your MP3 when you make it so that I can put it on the SDR music page. I would also like if, well, Dwayne's probably going to PM you. Give him your email address, or no? He'll give him your email or his email address so that you can send him the MP3 too. Okay, and that way we'll have he can share that. You know, like when Fran and I usually sing, it'd be better if we can just get together with Dwayne and say, okay, when Fran says she's going to sing a song, instead of her singing it one time, she'll say, and Brother Dwayne's going to put it in the room, and it's the song from Sister Jana, because she's going to sing one soon for us. And so we'll just be keeping Brother Dwayne kind of busy. that's part of his ministerial work, because he does do plenty for the Lord. All right, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Hard to get out of that chair sometimes. All right, please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, here we are again, kneeling before you in worship. We thank you so much, Father, for teaching us how to worship you, how to obey you, how to love you, and how to share your love with others, even those that hate us. Thank you for letting us have perfect peace during those times as well. And please bless them with open eyes before it's too late. There's not a lot of time left. If everything is going the way the powers that be want it done, we're going to be home in less than 10 years. And so we don't know the day or the hour, neither do they, but if they get their way and it happens to coincide with your will, yeah, we're going to be home sooner than we thought. And so thank you, Father, for opening up the prophecies to us as well in regards to all that, because we know how they enforce the mark. And they're already talking about enforcing it. But they're not, of course, saying Mark. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with your continued presence as we go into the Word. And thank you so much for opening it up so that we can understand it and share it with others. And we offer this prayer and praise unto you in the name of your Son, who is forever our Savior, our Creator, and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. But yeah, for those of us that study prophecy, we know when they start talking about climate change and how they're going to do this and they're going to do that with it. We know for a fact, we've known for decades, that climate change will be used to enforce the mark of the beast worldwide. But people that don't study prophecy have no clue. They think climate change is a good thing. They think climate change is legit. Well, yeah, the climate's messed up. It's changing. But it's not because of the CO2, because the amount of CO2 in the planet's atmosphere right now is the exact same amount that it was in 1910, I think it is. It's on my climate change page. There's actual scientists saying it's the exact same amount of CO2 in the atmosphere now than it was when they invented the Model T, and it was like three people driving them, because they hadn't really mass-produced them yet. Why does it happen? Well, for the same reason. You're drinking the same water Adam and Eve drank. The Lord created a planet that knows how to, that, you know, physically recycles itself, just like you. Every bit of your body, what is it, 30 or 60 days or 90 days, you are totally, every 90 days, that's how dogs can track you, by the way. You're constantly shedding. Oh, thanks, Jennifer, it was 1910. And so, and Warren. But yeah, you're constantly shedding, and not just your epidermis, your skin. You get a new heart every, I don't know how long it takes for the internal organs to renew, but that's how he created us. And since, I mean, think about it. People that quit smoking, what was it, 60 to 90 days, their lungs pink up, and if you want to get it done in 30, go on a watermelon fast. I remember reading about that when I was a teenager because I was thinking about quitting smoking. But I didn't do that until I got into my 20s. I went to, boom, just cold turkey, quit smoking. But then I went back to smoking because I, you know, in pool halls, you know. And I quit for a whole year. For some reason, I hadn't shot stick for that year. But when I went back into the pool halls, before I was a Christian, I still hadn't been a Christian. I started smoking again, and then I couldn't quit. And when I asked the Lord, He helped me, and this is like, I became a non-smoker instantly one day. But it was only after He literally said something to me that day. It was the second time in my life that I heard that still small voice. Second time. Praise His name for that to this day. Because I may have been dead and gone by now, because I remember whenever I would take a hit off a cigarette, there would be a thump on the back of my throat, like something just dangling there, and just bump, you know, like when you put the pressure on, and it kind of went bump, like a, I don't know, could have been a cancerous cyst. That's what killed my buddy Griff. You know, we used to call him the Griff. His last name was Griffin. And big dude. A gentle giant. Unbelievable. Boy, do I miss him. And I do believe he'll make it home. He died years ago, obviously, throat cancer. But I do believe he'll make it home because of what the Lord allowed me to share and how He responded to it a couple of weeks before he died. All right, so let me get my notes up here because we're doing Q&A. We're on question number 436. Who'd have thought? I was just listening the other day to, I think it was yesterday, as a matter of fact, WTPR. And sometimes, it's me talking, it's Sean talking, it's Andre or Eli or even Sessler, because, like, I left his stuff on there because we found out later that he was using sermons he had written 10 years prior because the Lord hadn't, it appeared the Lord stopped giving him utterance. And so the sermons were safe. His website's still safe, as far as last I checked. I don't know. He could have stuff on there that is goofy now. But he never did any strange things out in the open. But with the other guy that left recently, I did have to remove his because some of it was during the time he was in sin, and I didn't want to take the chance because we didn't know about it until 4 years later. So anyway, question number 436 is... some people are wondering why I got a certain graphic on my website. I will share on the main page about Craig. I will share after church, right before we do the SOP study. I'll just share something like I shared last night, just so it's said, so people know what's going on here and why. It has to do with obedience. Anyway, this email, all it really just said is, please explain 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. And again, this is the Q&A thing, so, well, let me go there. And I'm going to leave the text chat in. Let me just see if I have it here. Thanks, Brother Sean. Oh, look at it. It says testimony service. Let me turn that one off. And maybe that, okay, there's that one. And that's what I usually have up for. But I figured, why not just use the children's chat? Because I got it built into my streamer, and that way Brother Sean can put in the verses, because that's the verse that was in question in this email, and so this is what it reads. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. It says, "When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I propose? Do I propose according to the flesh that with I noticed, yeah. Well, 17 to 20, yeah. I don't know what you put earlier, but I did notice the text chat jumping up though. But anyway, so do I propose according to the flesh that with me there should be yay yay and nay nay? But as God is true, our word, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Now, the promises of Christ are absolute. This is what Paul's getting at. They're absolute. It's yay, yay. There's no yay and nay. But as we know, 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees would declare they're the only ones worthy of the promises. If in fact they were 100% obedient unto the Lord, then yeah, we could agree. They were the only ones worthy of the promises. But they were not obedient, were they? In fact, they often declared yea, yea for themselves and nay, nay for the Gentiles. And others, they professed to be dogs outside the camp of God. It's kind of like the prosperity preacher of the day. Do as I say, not as I do. It's ridiculous. You're supposed to be an example unto the flock. See, that's what gets these guys in trouble. They think because they're standing on a pulpit, they can do certain things, and you know, and then, of course, they may confess and repent, but certain sins cannot be. In other words, if you commit adultery, you can never stand on a pulpit again. Sister White even says that. And there's no questions around that. I mean, Jimmy Swaggart never should have gotten back on that pulpit. He agreed when he got caught. And even though it wasn't physical touching, he just had the woman standing in front of him, and I don't want to get into it. It was a prostitute he hired. He left the pulpit, but 3 months later, he got back on it. And then he did it again. And so, yeah, we know, you know, when the Jews said yea, yea for themselves and nay, nay for everybody else, we know they erred as well. We really know they messed up after Jesus shared with them what he shared. And then, of course, when Jesus shared with the Samaritan woman at the well, I mean, that was hands down like, whoa, did they mess up? Because Jesus is a Jew, obviously, and he's the one teaching the Pharisees and everybody else. And here he is talking to a Samaritan that they would call a dog. And so the Jews boldly hated the Samaritans and always declared nay, nay unto them. Yet Jesus Christ himself did the exact opposite. The Word of God. Now, look at it this way. The Word of God, and I don't know why I do this, because I kind of have a tendency to, these are Q&As and these are answers I've given people, but I always kind of go off a little further, which I would always prefer to do so in the email when I send it, but you know, sometimes I get different thoughts at different times. And so, but my point here is the Word doesn't say that the Jews are the only ones that can ask and it shall be given unto them. The Lord didn't say unto the Jews that you shall seek and you shall find, but only if you're a Jew. And only the Jews can knock and it shall be opened unto them. No, the Bible clearly says all of us can ask, seek, and knock. We will all be blessed. See, this is why there haven't been a lot of answered prayers lately. This is why there hasn't been a lot of miracles lately. I mean, Satan has been so busy just mixing it up out there. I mean, salvation is for all of mankind. Hence the reason for the four horns on the altar of the sacrifice, right? The burnt offering, the altar of sacrifice. It pointed perfectly to the north, south, east, and west, meaning all of mankind can declare all the promises theirs from God. All of them are for the taking, but only if they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and obey him by laying everything on the altar. That includes the candy bars, the beers, the cigarettes, the marijuana, the cocaine, the whatever. You lay it on the altar, all of it, and all the promises are yours now. So now when you say, okay, Father God, I've done it all, given everything up for you, then I need you to answer this one prayer. And he will. Because he's not a liar like man. And I recall as a young Christian that I believed deep within my heart that some of the promises were yay, yay unto me. But the ones I really wanted, like, you know, the gift of healing or prophecy or other blessings, were nay, nay unto me. Because, or no, no, for those of you that don't know what nay, nay, like some of the young kids might not know, nay, nay means no, no. And so I thought some of these other blessings, especially the Whoppers, were nay, nay unto me, because I thought they were slated for other men and other women of God who had a much better walk than I had. But this is how the Roman Catholic Church taught me. And to this day, this is how the Pharisees still teach. To this day, they still do it that way. You know, later in my walk, the Lord, of course, revealed to me that 100% of the promises are for me, as well as every Christian alive, as long as they obey the Lord. Everything from dress reform to health reform. And, of course, keeping his law and studying his word and, you know, being a Christian, a real one. And so there is no yay, yay, and there is there is no yay, yay, and nay, nay with our God. It's all 100% yay, yay, like Paul just said, unto his children. He loves us that much. As for verse 19 specifically, you know, we can do all things in Christ. Verse 19, you know, is what it says here. But he says yes to every promise in his word, and so there is no yay and nay regarding his word. Some believe he will bless here but not there. But the truth is, he says yes to all his promises. Christ would never contradict his own word. Otherwise, why read it? It would be just a useless pile of paper. I mean, some of us have seen the answered prayers. I would think all of us. And this is why so many people have weak faith today, because they think, you know, I'm not walking as good as I should. Well, guess why? I mean, it's Satan tempting you to think that your prayer, your sins have not been forgiven. Because I know, like when you say, because this is just the way we are in this church family, and I praise God for this. We, when we sin, we confess and repent. It's gone. 1 John 1:9. There's a promise again. There's another promise right there. And you don't even have to be a water-walking Christian to believe that one. You don't have to be a water-walking Christian to believe any of them, actually. But, well, you know what I mean. If you confess and repent, he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, like you've never committed the sin. So then you can go right into praying, and bam, instantly back to square one as a Christian, and you can have everything answered, just like you were when you were a baby Christian, when the Lord was revealing his hand to you. And this kind of reminds me of what we were reading last night, so I'm going to read this with you, because we shared this, and I didn't, of course, send this in the email to the guy or the girl that emailed me, but it says this in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and I think this is important that I add this here, and so I shall. But it says, and so it's not going to be on the Q&A page, because I only have this on typed with the SOP on it, too. I got some messages page. Well, it's from 1890, MS-16, 1890. It says, examine your... Okay, yeah, 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? In other words, Paul is saying here that they know that Jesus Christ is among them. He's in their hearts, you know, via the Comforter that he sent, the Holy Spirit. And you could say it's Jesus in you, just like you could say it's the Father in you, because they're all on the exact same page. That's why Jesus said to the apostle there, have I not been so long with you that you have not yet seen the Father? Because everything that Jesus was doing was an exact emulation of the Father and what he would do. And that's why they got to see Christ in you. Okay, you might have different color hair than Christ. You might be a little shorter or a little taller than Christ. But they'll still see him if you walk like Christ. And now check out what Sister White says here in that MS 16-1890, and I can't put it in the room because it's on a piece of paper here. it says, those who have no time to give attention to their own souls, to examine themselves daily, whether they be in the love of God and place themselves in the channel of light, will have time. In other words, she goes right into the next point, the old way of talking, I guess, and she says, then they will have the time to give the suggestions of Satan and the working out of his plans. Satan will insinuate himself by little wedges that widen as they make a place for themselves. The specious devices of Satan will be brought into the special work of God at this time. She's talking about us now. The special work of God at this time. Okay? We have proof, brothers and sisters, that we are real Christians. Everything from events happening that Spirit of Prophecy says will only happen to God's people, to the way, and they have happened to us, myself, me and my wife and kids included. You know, a lot of us have seen statements that Sister White said and Scripture said will happen in the last day to the people of God, and they have now happened to us. And so we have proof. We are the Christians that are being spoken of in the last days. We have this proof. So why do we have a lack of faith when we say, yeah, stand up, you've been healed? it's, well, you got to have the perception first, of course. Peter saw the guy and he perceived, you know, the first miracle that he did right after Pentecost, and he perceived that the guy would be able to stand up and asked him, do you have, or was it the first one with the, you know, I don't have any money, but what I do have I give unto you, stand up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. We can all do this. And then finish by saying, no, go and sin no more. Like when I, and the Lord reminded me of this, when it was like 2 or 3 years ago, I was out there cutting the lawn on the 45-minute section. That's on the southern side of our lawn. It's 45 minutes just to cut that. It's just a big blank spot of grass. I think it's like 2 acres, just that one spot. And usually takes 45 minutes, but it felt like it took 5 minutes because I went into prayer, like I usually do, but this time it got really intense, you know, like I'm in that realm, if you will. And I kept hearing the same statement over and over again in my heart. I didn't hear the voice or anything like that this time. It was just, you know, the thought kept coming over and over again that when you lay hands on them, say, go and sin no more. And they just passed a law. I think it was in Australia, or was it the UK? I think it's the UK, where it's against the law to say, go and sin no more. Like, that's going to work. You know, because Satan knows God's people are being told certain things. And so he's going to try and stop us from doing things. And how they were able to get that law passed was like, you know, you can't go up to a homosexual and say, go and sin no more. And so you don't have to bring up homosexuality. Just lay hands on somebody, see them healed, and then tell them, go and sin no more, or worse thing cometh upon you. All right, so now question number 437. It says, hi, Nicholas, question for you. We know that the church does not save, nor can any name or denomination or the remnant save, for that matter. Only Jesus saves us, as you know. And he quotes John 14 and Acts 4 and all that. However, you believe you are the only church. So God's people are called out of the churches of today, but they do not have to be part of the Seventh-day remnant. I know that. Do you see what I mean? In other words, it was a finishing. He was accusing me of saying that I said you have to be SDR to be able to make it into heaven. The only way to The only way to be saved is to be SDR. I corrected him, and I says, I don't know what you're talking about, because he wasn't wording it exactly that way, the way I just said it, but I knew what he meant, and so I wanted him to clarify it and detail it for me. And so my response to him was, not one time on my website, in any video or any stream or even a radio broadcast did I ever say that we are the only church on the planet that is blessed with the final truth. And so I'm quite confused as to why you assume as you do. I have stated countless times that many people out there do believe as we do, and we have never met them yet. In fact, we have brethren in all nations now, and most do not even claim the SDR name at all. Many even join us on each Sabbath, and they also do not have to claim the SDR name to be considered brethren by any of us, brothers and sisters in the faith. Now, to be members of the church, well, then, yeah, you got to, you know, join the church. But we're not going to hold it against them if they don't join it, you know, officially. They can still use the name if they want. It's about Christ with us, and Christ alone in this church family. This is why we never use, I never use, better yet, my last name anywhere on my website, nor do I ever ask for donations. To God be the glory, period. Plus, as the Lord revealed to us some years back, we are more of a remnant movement than we are a physical church. In fact, we have no brick-and-mortar churches at all. We meet in homes, as did the apostles 2,000 years ago, because that's how the Father guided us these last days, and we now can see why. You're not supposed to have a brick-and-mortar church today. You weren't actually supposed to have them ever, from what I understand. But when the latter rain falls, and now some people say, oh, no, you got a brick-and-mortar church out in the Philippines. No, we don't. Someone has stolen that church from us. We did at one time have a church building there, but it was against our wishes. We said you could start a church, but then you move on, you go someplace else. And out there it would have been like a NEPA hut. It wouldn't be brick and mortar, but then we found out later, yeah, church funds were not used wisely. And so when the latter rain falls, it will be very apparent as to why we all meet in our homes. I mean, if you live in China and you're listening to me right now in some, you know, cave or something, or in the forest using the internet, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. And so, and this is also, I praise God for us being in home churches too, because those seeking to attack us or infiltrate us are having a real difficult time infiltrating, because, you know, it's not like they can hide themselves in a crowd inside some big old church building. Our Father has us strategically scattered for a long prophesied purpose. The only reason we choose the Seventh-day Remnant name was to stop the Seventh-day Adventist leaders from suing us. They actually join hands, and this has been recorded and documented, they actually join hands with the Roman Catholic and Jewish lawyers, you know, two anti-Christian organizations, to sue people that use the SDA name and throw them behind bars like they did the guy in Texas just for using the name. And why are we strategically scattered for a long prophesied purpose? Well, look at the social distancing. And the European Union just passed a bill saying that you have to have a vaccine to get on any airplane. You got to have a vaccine passport now. And they think, and Satan thinks, that's going to stop us from traveling all over the world and sharing the truth, you know, the final present truth message, the three angels message, to let people know what the mark of the beast really is. I guess he doesn't realize that the Lord had us scattered in home churches all along. As a matter of fact, the Lord told, you know, me personally, not the voice, I didn't get the voice on this one, but I got a dream where we would be using the internet to go global and share the truth to God's people without ever leaving our homes. And they don't have to leave their homes either. And I had that dream at least a decade or two before the internet was even invented. Didn't know what it really meant. It's kind of like that John 14:29 kind of statement from him. You understand it afterwards, after the event occurs. But the Bible's clear. Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I'll put this in the room for you there, Sean, because I'm jumping around here. Let's see if I can get in there quicker than you. Gotcha. All right, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And again, that's Acts 2:21 and Acts 4:12 for those listening on WTPR. So, well, I actually had it typed out already there, Brother Dwayne. So, you know. But Sean, he's lightning fast the way he did. But these are two different verses in two different books, and I was going to read them together, and I didn't want to do that, you know, to him, because it would be rough. But Romans 10:13 is the next one that I want to share, which says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so I ended the email more or less like that, because of the fact is, never ever have I ever said you have to be Seventh-day Remnant, an SDR to make it to heaven, or we're the only true church. And I've had, this is not the first guy that's ever emailed me like this, but it's the first time I ever put it on the Q&A page, which I haven't updated yet. Boy, I just torture myself sometimes. Why do I do this to me? Anyway, going on, because updating the Q&A page on the website, it's the most difficult page to update. That's why the last update, it took me a year to do it. So, the last 2 months, as a matter of fact, I haven't updated. And so I got one more here, one left. Oh, wow. Did I do that? Oh, wow. No, we got a couple of more. I started in the wrong spot. Or no, I skipped over to, like, an idiot. Okay, well, I went from 434 to 436. So let me do 437, because it's very short, and then I'll do 435 and 6. Or no, four, whatever. I think 435 I missed or skipped. Love you too, Sister Jennifer. Okay, let me just get a... what is this? My son Josh, he's in the stream, but he forgot his password, and he wanted to be in the text chat. So yeah, I'll give you a shout, you know, tomorrow or something like that, Josh, and we'll all fix it for you. But yeah, unless you want to get into the text chat, yeah, the stream is perfect because you can see the text chat because I'm letting it go through the stream, and you can hear without even using WTPR. So anyway, which is the safer way of doing it. If you're in the stream, don't use WTPR because the lag won't match. If you're in the stream, click the speaker. If you don't see it, just scroll down to the bottom of the screen video and start clicking on the bottom of the screen, and you'll see the speaker, and just it's muted. You know, I had it automatically muted, so it's had problems on my end. Because sometimes I'll turn it on and not realize it's on. Oh, okay, good. Thanks, Josh. All right. So, but yeah, or you can re-register, Josh, and tell me what your old one was, and I'll delete it. You can just do that. But anywho, where was I here? Okay, yeah, so I'm going to read this 438, and then I'm going to jump back and do 435. And this question was, why did the Jews say it wasn't lawful for them to kill Jesus in John 18:31? Which says, oh yeah, that's the verse in question. Oh, I forgot to make it into the proper font. I'll do that later. So John 18:31 is the verse in question, which reads, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Actually, they did have biblical authority to stone people that committed certain sins, and they knew it, so did Rome. But to kill someone for the fake crimes they levied against Christ, no, they could not do so, because the crimes they levied against Christ weren't crimes that you could be stoned for, and they knew it. They openly admitted that day to the Roman officials they wanted to kill Jesus, and they knew he was not worthy of death by their own law, which is really bad. I mean, what a testimony against religiosity of their apostate condition. I mean, like Rome today, they employ others to do the evil deed of murder for them. They even admitted their law would not allow them to kill for such things, as they said he did. And everyone knows their law was God's law, or so they said, but their actions on this day proved they had no love for the Lord or his law. Commandment number 6 proved that hands down. But the thing is, as I stated earlier, the law of God did allow them to stone people to death. I mean, did they not stone Stephen under Roman rule? Of course, yeah, that's 3.5 years after Christ, of course, but still. And didn't they try twice to try to stone Jesus? They said what they said because they wanted the Romans to kill Jesus. They hated him so much. Well, actually, the demons in them hated him. You know, Satan hated Christ so much that he moved those people to get Jesus killed by the Romans, because stoning him would have been too quick and too merciful for Satan's bloodthirsty heart, or the bloodthirsty hearts of the Pharisees. And here's the other toss on the coin. They feared the people that trusted Jesus. They knew the so-called crimes that they levied against Christ would have led the people to stone them, because the Pharisees, because it wasn't something that was in the law. And so having the Romans kill Jesus offered them a way to get Jesus killed in a very torturous manner, for everyone knew the Romans killed people very slowly in the most painful way they could imagine. And so in short, it was lawful for them to stone people to death, as they did. You know, and we all know that. And so, but it's not lawful for them to beat, whip, and crucify Jesus to death. Torture is not proper. Stoning, you could actually kill somebody with one stone, and the rest of the stones are just everybody else putting their own stones to it. But if the person that's being stoned gets hit in the head hard enough with a big enough stone, yeah, they're dead first blow. You know, the first hit. So, but and this is the reason for verse 32 in John 18. You know, what I just said here, because I can back this up with Scripture. It says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. So, he knew how they were going to kill him. And he prophesied it. Okay, so we already did 437. And 436. Right? It's 436 and 437. Oh, yeah, I did that one. Okay, the guy with the... I didn't do 434 and 435. So, I'll do 434 and then 435 and we'll be done. All right? So, 434. It's going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, and then verse 16. Same book, but I'm not going to read them, obviously, at the same time. But this is the question I got. Did Paul just... This is number 434 on the Q&A page when we finally get around to it. Because I didn't share this with you tonight, or today, did I? I don't think so, anyway. But it says, did Paul just admit to being crafty in 2 Corinthians? Boy, you know, the thing that gets me is the way some preachers will teach their flock, using definitions of words today for words written 2,000 years ago. It's just amazing. Anyway, in 2 Corinthians 12:16, it says, well, so I'm going backwards here, so, but in the way I list it, in the way he's going backwards, that's right, because he doesn't share the verses, he just asks the question. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:16, is Paul saying that he's being crafty and used guile to catch the Corinthians in something that seems out of character? Or is he saying that he caught the Corinthians using craftiness and guile? And then verse 2 to 4, they're asking, is Paul taking someone he saw in vision, or talking about someone he saw in vision? Sorry, these old eyeballs. I don't sometimes see the L, but because it's so close to the K. But anyway, is Paul talking about someone he saw in vision, since he doesn't know if he knew this man in person or not? And what does he mean by the unspeakable words which are not lawful for a man to utter? Thank you, brother. God bless. Okay, verse, like Brother Sean just put it in the room, I'll be doing verses 2 to 4 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4 says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in a body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise. Okay, there's your answer about third heaven for those of you that are wondering, what's the third heaven? Well, it's heaven. It's paradise. How come it's the third heaven? Well, my only personal opinion is the heavens we have on planet Earth, or the sky, the heavens between us, the planet, and the Orion Nebula is another heavenly expanse of nothingness, and then of course heaven itself. And so how he was caught up into the paradise and searched and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for man to utter. And then verse 16 says, but be it so, I did not burden you, nevertheless being crafty I caught you with guile. So there's two questions. Who's the guy he's looking at that's caught up in the third heaven? And was he being crafty, or was he saying they got crafty? Well, the word crafty, I'm going to go over there first, as used by Paul, is also translated as shrewd, sly, quick, skillful, however, you know. I mean, all too often people will be on the defense when their leaders speak in a way they assume means they have the drop on them. And so they will do what they can to hide the truth about their mistakes. And that way, you know, they can be found out by using wit, if you will. So, and Paul was quick-witted and no doubt knew that he would be able to get them to admit of certain things, assuming by carefully forming his words without using deception, he would be able to do that. So this can be used to discover the good and even the bad in some people. You know, it's just like manipulating the conversation kind of a thing. And so as for verses 2 to 4, Paul was actually speaking of himself in the third person. The fact he said such an one caught up to the third heaven as well as in paradise proves this. But I'm going to let Sister White go into a little detail on this. so that you don't have a thus saith Nicholas, because some people, well, that's just your opinion. Review and Herald, May 3rd. I'm going to put it in the room, 1881. Review and Herald, May 3rd. Some of you are wondering why we're using Ellen White again. Well, we found out the quote that someone told me said you shouldn't do it was added. Why? Well, they fear to have this kind of stuff in sermons. Where is the chat? Oh, I'm on the wrong monitor. I got this all. I have to get used to this. Okay, wait, there's a too big of a gap. Okay, fixed. There you go. It should be in the stream now. All right, so it says, the Apostle Paul was highly honored of God, being taken in holy vision to the third heaven. I can end it there, but I won't. But yeah, right there, you got your answer. He was the one being taken into the third heaven. And then she says, where he looked upon scenes whose glories might not be revealed to mortals. Yet, all this did not lead him to boastfulness or self-confidence. Hence the reason he's talking about himself in third person, right? But I'll get to that in a minute. He realized the importance of constant watchfulness and self-denial and plainly declares, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And again, for those on WTPR, it's Review and Herald, May 3rd, 1881. And so again, Paul said that he knew a man that was caught up to the third heaven. And Sister White just said Paul was the one that was brought to the third heaven, of which students of prophecy know means New Jerusalem. And so, like myself and others that have done for years in the SDR movement, Paul was not seeking to take credit or even glorify himself. He purposely kept it vague so as to give glory to God and God alone. To further confirm this, notice what Spirit of Prophecy now says in Signs of the Times, January 11th, 1883. And yes, I'll put it in the room. Or in the text chat. Boy, I keep having those weird gaps every time I do this. That's rocket chat for you. Oh, keep that in prayer. I may have found a way. Oh, no, I'm keeping it on Linux. Never mind. I found a way to put something else on Linux so I can get rid of one server. There's too many servers here again. And so, it says, Paul had a very humble opinion of his own advancement in the Christian life. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He speaks of himself as the chief of sinners, yet Paul had been highly honored of the Lord. He had been taken in holy vision to the third heaven, and there received revelations, divine glory, of divine glory, which he could not be permitted to make known. And so again, you see here, she's saying it was because of his humble opinion, and he would not, you know, like the third person, this way he's talking, he speaks of himself as the chief of sinners, and but still at the same time, he's highly honored, because again, she says he's the one that was in the third heaven. And now I got one last one from, where is this from? Signs of the Times again, January 30th, 1912. So this is 3 years before she died. 1912, but I just... Okay, there you go. The third heaven is paradise, New Jerusalem. Brother Arthur. Okay. Oh, like Michael just said. Okay. So, going on, it says, this is Ellen White, Signs of the Times, January 30th, 1912. And for those of you who are new, who's Ellen White? I got a page on my website all about her. But read the book of Joel, chapter 2. Last days, your daughters shall prophesy. She actually does it using the rabbinic code. What's that? Well, same thing that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all of them used. And never even knew they were using it. It's the style, the writing style of the Lord himself. They have their own style, but they also have that which is called the rabbinic code in their style. And never realized it. Anyway, going on, it says, mysteries which had been hidden for ages were revealed to him, Paul, obviously, and as much as he could hear of the workings of God and of his dealings with human minds were made known. The Lord told Paul that he must preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Light was to be given to the Gentiles. This is the mystery which had been hidden for ages. And so, okay, I'm confused as to why I used that one. Where was I going with this one? Mystery hidden for ages. Maybe just the fact that, yeah, because he was honored. I think it's because he was honored. You know, so I'm going to leave it in. Because if somebody's, when people read the Q&A page, there's also a way to read and listen. Because I always put the church service for every Q&A stack. So you'll have to sit through the whole church service. Okay, and the last one I have today. And it's kind of short, not two, but it's not long. Okay, talk about your typos. I type too fast and it just ends up, all the words are there for the word, but they're in the wrong spots. Anyway, number 435, and this is the last one I'm going to share today. And the question that was, I can't remember if this is an email, YouTube comment, I've given up. You know, there's been, so sometimes I'll remember because it was recent, but I don't remember this one. But it says, I'm not sure about what the Lord is saying through Amos. Or maybe it's a question that will be answered, or question, you know, asked, if you will. And so it's more or less, what is the Lord saying through Amos in Amos chapter 3, verses 3 to 8, regarding a roaring lion or the snare? And this is very, very important for us to understand in these last days, especially now that Satan is pulling out the big guns and he's going to start trying to tempt us in ways that we've already overcome. You know, the whoppers we did before we found Christ. As well as new ones, little dinky ones that we know are wrong, but he just needs a toe hold so he can grab hold of that ankle. Then he's got the leg. And once he's got the leg, you're snared. You're stuck. So what is Amos chapter 3, verses 3 to 8? Well, this is something that most people have read many times, I would think. But Amos chapter 3, verses 3 to 8 says, am I in the room? Yeah, I'm in the room. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Here, I'll put it in the room. That's only fair because since I have them here, I can put them. You're right. And it gave that weird gap again. You see it? So anyway, can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out in his den? If he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? You know, trap. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all? All right, so the lion here, it doesn't roar in the joy of pride or happiness unless he has a reason to do so. That's just, you know, common sense, right? Unless he's getting up in the morning and he's yawning, or a young buck is coming around figuring, yeah, I'm going to challenge him. So he lets out a roar, let him know who's boss. You know, or a couple of hyenas come by, and just roaring is enough to get them to leave because nobody messes with the king of the forest, right? And so the lion doesn't roar unless he has a reason to roar. And it's only after he catches his prey that joy abounds. And so walking together with unbelievers, because that's how that passage starts. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Walking together with unbelievers would only give Satan joy as soon as you now become his prey. Because that's what happens. The lion's roaring. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Is it Universal Studios that has the roaring lion when they start their movies in the theaters? Is it Universal Studios that does that lion? Let me look it up really quick here. All right, I'm going to jump into Google Earth. Not Google Earth. I'm just going to go into the browser here. Universal Studio. Oops. Lion. See if that comes up. Oh, it's MGM? Oh, okay. Thanks, Gilbert. All right, thanks. All right. Let me drop this. Oh, and by the way, This is what I'm going to be reading after the sermon. I already got it all ready. Let me see. Where was I? Right there for the text chat. All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. So everybody chimed in on that one. So Brother Gilbert, Sister Marie, Brother Bill, Brother Eli, and Brother or Sister Sumati. I don't know that name, so forgive me for messing that up. And the woman with the torch. Oh, that's right. But the roaring lion comes right before you watch the movie. Why? Because now you're Satan's prey. Think about that. He's happy as a, you know, a pig in the muck and mire. He's happy because you're gonna let him speak to you now using fiction. He's roaring. And that means he's got his prey. That's the reason for the roar. According to the scripture, let me get back, where was I here with my notes, because I just knocked everything down. Okay, there it is. You know, this reminds me, the coyotes out here, by the way. I mean, this is just verifiably easy if you live in my neck of the woods. Hence the reason I don't really think if we had a gathering at my house, we should use tents. You never know who's going to come banging on that tent. So, but when the coyotes out here, and they do come on our land because they know we have cats and a dog, because we do see their scat, if you will, their droppings, and it's loaded with hair because they kill and eat. They don't pluck. And so, although they will rip feathers off a bird, and every now and then you'll find a pile of feathers in the back in our where I go pray. And, yeah, that's them ripping the feathers off before they eat, because it's problematic to them, I guess, especially the long ones with those spikes on them. So, but it reminds me of the coyotes. Whenever they make a kill, wherein the hunting party is split up, let's say, especially in winter, they're going out looking for something to kill, and so they split up. They'll get them, you know, half a mile apart, quarter mile maybe. I would think if it's bad, maybe even a mile, because when they start yipping and yapping, it sounds like little kids screaming sometimes, and other times they'll do like a howl, like a wolf, but it's too high-pitched. But it's high-pitched enough to where the other guys will know, hey, we got something to eat, guys, come on. And so same thing, you know, like with the lion. Oh man, I never even realized that. The lion on that movie, he roars because he's got his prey, and that's you sitting in the theater, or you sitting in your home watching that movie. It's just like with the eye of the horse, you know. Well, I don't want to get into that. And so, in the same way, the Lord mentions through his prophet Amos that a bird never ends up in a snare unless they're blind to it and become trapped in it. Being blind to the snare means, plain and simple, that the one caught by Satan is the one that never saw the danger. And the only reason they could not see the snare he set up is because they didn't study their Bibles, and so they were blind to Satan's little wedges, as we read earlier, remember? Or darts, as I think it's in Romans, talks about the darts. You got to be the whole armor of God on. And so, continuing on to verses 6 to 8 of Amos chapter 3, verses 6 to 8 now, because it was 3 to 8 that I was sharing, but I only put up verses, a couple of them. It says, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets, or his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? So the trumpet is not going to be heard by those that are deaf to it, and the only way they are deaf to it is when they're not studying the word. Let the trumpet have a certain sound, if you recall in the scriptures. I can't remember the exact Bible verse, but if it doesn't have a certain sound, you know, it's the Isaiah 20 theology, 820 theology. You know, if what they're preaching doesn't match up with scripture, then, you know, let your feet carry you out of that church. to stop messing around with these. I'm holding these magnets as I'm talking, so I keep dropping them. And so the trumpet still can't be heard by people that are spiritually deaf. And they're only spiritually deaf because they're not studying the Word, or they're in disobedience to the Lord in ways they know for a fact are sinful, but they're doing it anyway, and because they haven't overcome yet. But and they don't even see, I would think, the desire to repent. Because I know, like years ago, I was struggling for a while on one particular sin, but I kept confessing and repenting it, and he kept blessing me when I was going into his Word, as I always beg him to do. Now I'm begging, like every time I eat my meal. It's been going on for a while now. I thank him and I ask him to bless the food, of course. I also ask him to bless my body so that I can better understand his Word. And man, is he, because he's been opening it up like I've never seen him open it up before. But then we expect that, because if the powers that be get their way, they're going to start to enforce the mark in 2027, which means we will already have been doing the loud cry because they're trying to shut us up, which also means you can count the amount of years before we go forth and allow cry on one hand and have fingers left over. So, I hope. I hope it isn't going to be the last few seconds or whatever. You know, I'm thinking the Lord's... I mean, we're going to be preaching, of course, the loud cry and the present truth all the way up until that last year when the plagues fall within a day. And if they get their will and they get their one will government in 2030, which is at the 1 hour with the beast at the end of plague six, well, that the plagues only fall within a year, and they want it in 2030. So if it happens in 2030, we'll be done preaching in 2029, because plague one starts in 2029, I would say, right? Or it could be a mid-year kind of a thing where it's hanging or dangling. It doesn't matter. It'll be within a year. And so we're done preaching in 8 years then. You know, like if we started the loud cry now, we'd be done in 8 years. But I don't think it needs to go that far. I mean, how long did the midnight cry go on? Because Sister White says the midnight cry is an exact duplicate of the loud cry in how it goes. And how, and this is where the SDAs are really messing up, and really, for students of prophecy, we're going, are you kidding me? When you call yourselves the remnant, you can't, first of all, be the ninth hour and the 11th hour church at the same time. You can't do that. That's biblically impossible. I mean, Matthew 20 verses 1 to 7 or Revelation 12, 17. You can't be the woman and the remnant of received the same. They can't do it. Why are they calling themselves a remnant? Because they're embarrassed. The people that are leaving the church are the ones that are going to be the remnant of her seed. And Sister White even said, when the loud cry goes forth, it'll go out in the exact same way the midnight cry did. And how many, which denomination did the midnight cry? None. It was a smattering of Christians all over the world. There was no structured church in that loud cry. They had to leave their prospective churches to be part of it, or the midnight cry. They had to leave. The Seventh-day Adventist Church didn't form until, what, 1876 or something like that? Or was it 76? I'm not good with numbers when it comes to those kind of dates. But it doesn't matter. They weren't there in 1844. They weren't. This SDA church had not yet been formed. And so, 1863. Thanks, Brother Mel and Anthony. All right. So, why am I thinking 1876? There was something that happened in 1876. I brought that number up before, just the other day, as a matter of fact. And so, we're going to be going out as individuals. Hence the reason, like, yeah, go ahead with your social distancing. Go ahead with your vaccine passports. We don't have to leave our neighborhoods. The Lord has us scattered for a reason. We don't have to leave our countries. We won't even have to leave our state, especially in the U.S. If you think about it, because I would think a large portion of the 144,000 are going to be in the U.S. when it comes time to, and you know, with the mark, whereas, you know, I wouldn't think all of them will be here, obviously, because there's hundreds of nations out there now with they keep on splitting constitutions and land, and we do have people in every single solitary nation now, and have had for years, and so he's got us strategically placed. And so, now think about that too. If we, let's say we only have 10 people in Uganda, okay, which is not correct. I know we have more. Well, I would think we have more, better yet. I don't want to assume, because that's a guy, you know, I don't want to exaggerate. I'm going to get myself in a trick bag. I like getting my prayers answered. And so let's say we only have 10. Well, Uganda's a fairly large country. Or let's say we only had 20 in Australia. It's a big country. A lot of that stuff in the outback, too. A lot of empty space. That's why I'm thinking when I see it that, and I see how that goes down, if we only have 10 in one nation, it's going to have to take, I would think a couple, 3 years for those people to go around and proclaim the loud cry before they try to lock it down with the mark being enforced. Because the mark's enforced first in the United States, try to shut us up quickly. But that word will go out, and we'll still be preaching it. And of course, some of us for preaching it will end up going to jail or getting killed, but it don't matter. We know what happens after we wake up. And so, getting back to answering this person's email, if it was an email or anything, one can see the trumpet of truth is actually being sounded worldwide right now. No, I'm not saying the latter rain's falling. Years ago, I used to think it was sprinkling to some extent, but I was incorrect. The latter rain falls more abundantly. The early rain is sprinkling because of the way the latter rain comes in a torrent, whereas the Holy Spirit, it's like, it's proportion to the person's faith and whatnot, of course, just like the loud cry. Well, no, I would think the loud cry would just, like a cloud burst on the person because of their faith when they got to that point of overcoming their sin. But I was incorrect when I said years ago, I believe I used to say this. I'm pretty sure I used to say it was sprinkling. But there's people out there now that says a loud cry is happening now. Or latter rain's falling now. And they're in open sin while they're saying it. Why? Well, after so many years, when you've refused to repent, the Lord just backs off. And Satan allows you to think that you're a man or a woman of God. And he'll convince you under the grand or the great delusion that these prophecies or these doctrines you're putting forth are real. And you'll even lie to yourself with some verses and twist it. So, the SDA say it will be sprinkling, or it's sprinkling now, Brother Arthur? Because I know the great delusion's already out there. I mean, it's really sad to see how many people, you can kind of tell which ones are going to be easy prey for this when you go into certain places and you see them promoting the vaccine or wearing the masks and stuff like that. They say it's sprinkling now and it will be sprinkling later. So they ignore the abundant part of it. Yeah, okay, so they always told you that. Well, that's why they also have to come up with the term calling themselves the remnant, so that they can, keep the people in the pews. But once the people start studying, they go, whoa, you can't be the remnant and you can't be the ninth and the 11th hour church. You can't be the woman and her own seed. Where's the sense in it? But no one studies their Bible, so they sit tight in the pews. Just like with the Catholics or anybody else. If you don't study your Bibles, they fall for the craziest things. And so, but Satan knows the planet is primed and ready. I mean, people are literally believing that a common cold is killing people, even though the CDC and other, places that, put out real numbers are saying that, no, there's only 600 people that died out of the government saying 500,000. And, but people are believing it because it's the age of lying, and if you don't grasp on to something like the Bible every day, where truth abounds, the Lord doesn't just open your eyes up to His Word. He opens your eyes up to what's happening right before your eyes in your own country or your state or wherever. And so, but one can see that the trumpet of truth has been sounding for a long time, yet most can't hear it because they don't study the Word and they don't have the ears to hear. And so the fact next to no one knows about the end time prophecies fulfilling all around us proves that hands down. The lion has roared, yet no one hears. And because they're deaf and none can echo the prophecy, and the godly fear is not within them, and so they blindly fly right into the snares of Satan. So that's what that Amos is all about towards the end of the, of course, with the lion roaring. Because a lot of people say, I can understand, can two walk together except they be agreed? But why did the prophet, why did the Lord tell the prophet to go right into saying, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out in his den if he hath taken nothing? How does that connect with can't two walk together except they be agreed? Well, you got a lion sitting in a den with a dead rabbit or something, or a dead gazelle, and he's together. He's got his prey. And so that's why the Lord went right into it like that, because if you are a Christian and you walk with someone that is not a Christian, and you know you don't agree with them, then the devil's got you. Because like I've been saying for decades, now, and I've seen, you know, people go through this, especially in married life. I've seen, as a matter of fact, it just happened with a man that used to be part of our number, five, 7 years ago, something like that. I'm not going to say his name or his wife's name. His wife was not a Christian, but she played that part to make him think she was. He came into our church looking for a woman, looking for a wife. That was of his faith, because he believed as we did. And I says, brother, if you marry her, she will destroy you. She'll pull you away from the truth. Does a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? People don't believe it. They says, oh, no, I'm going to help them see. He says, no, they have to be converted before you take that vow and get married. Because it's happened every single solitary time. And within a year and a half, I mean, he started attacking us right off the bat when they left the church, when his wife got upset over dress reform. But within a year and a half, he became Roman Catholic, started drinking and eating bloody meat. Very, very sad. Roman Catholic, because his father-in-law, his wife, was Roman Catholic, and now he is. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Don't do it, brother, is what I told him. And I says, I'm saying this gently to you. I says, well, I believe that she will change all this, you know. Boy, I wish that things were different for him, because I used to love talking to him on the phone. He was a fun guy. So anyway, well, just about all of you. I would think everybody in this church family is fun to talk to, you know. Anyway, that's it. I'm going to stop here, and I hope and I pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a moment.